How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to High on Healthy. I'm Richard Zwicky, your host. And joining us today, we've got Vlad Andreev, who's an experienced executive coach, entrepreneur, and trauma-based informed educator out of Vilnius, Lithuania. Welcome aboard the show, Vlad.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Richard. Appreciate it.
It's wonderful to have you on. And, you know, you're an executive coach working all around the world. And your approach blends neuroscience with leadership development, which is phenomenal. You also have a unique circumstance in terms of your physical location, Lithuania, and I'm sure that some of the challenges you see locally have been changing dramatically in the last few years vis-a-vis the challenges you see from the rest of the world. I'd love to hear a bit about that.
Right. Yeah. So just to clarify, currently I am in Spain, but for the past 2.5 years, I've been spending in Lithuania. And indeed, it's an interesting country. It was part of the Soviet Union at one point in time, and it suffered significantly. And thus far, it has one of the highest rates of suicides on the planet, as well as one of the highest rates of consumption of alcohol per capita on the planet. So you can tell that there's a lot of trauma that is deep-rooted in the society. And unfortunately, it still sits there unaddressed. But yeah, it would take a lot of time for it to change for better. Well, I hope that it's going to happen sooner than later. But yeah, you can see whenever you interact with people that there's a lot of pain that sits in there because of, you know, the legacy of the Soviet Union, you know, the horrors that happened and the deportations and everything. But looking forward to the day when people start to heal proactively rather than, you know, start the healing journey when something really significant happens with their health, because this is typically what happens. People don't think preemptively. They somehow start to address things only once they manifest themselves, unfortunately, in a manner that they can no longer ignore. But yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, because of the current political situation in the world and the turmoil that we're seeing and the divisiveness and the discussions, it does harken back to a lot of the challenges that we faced before the end of the Cold War, so before the fall of the Soviet Union that you were speaking about. And that's only 35 years ago.
Mm.
Generationally, are you seeing a shift in terms of the mindset and how people are approaching the growth for leadership coaching, but also the mental health challenges they're facing around that? Mm. Because that's a signal as to what's coming as well for everybody based on the current situation, the lack of cohesive and comprehensive dialogue that's productive as opposed to disruptive.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there is definitely a change in society when it comes to the shift in generations, that's for sure, because younger people are more conscious of their health and they are, you know, going to the gyms more often than, you know, the generations before. Right. So there's definitely a shift. I wouldn't call it's that significant in the moment, because still it lacks, I don't know, not rigor, but it takes time, you know, for things to change. And it is one of the societies where, on one hand, you see a really rapid change in terms of like development of the country, infrastructure, and a lot of companies that have been relocated from Belarus. And it was
right.
One of smart decisions by the Lithuanian government to, you know, offer this solution to companies that were suffering under the, you know, dictatorship basically in Belarus.
Yep.
And that actually worked in really good for them, because now they're the biggest taxpayers in the country. So you see all this development, you know, and everything mm-hmm. that's happening. And on the other hand, the mental health crisis is pretty present in the society. And, you know, it's quite tricky people in the executive function as well as in the entrepreneurial sector, they still tend to, you know, not pay enough attention to their mental health, I'd say, as much as
they
should.
We tend to push it down, say, we'll deal with it later, or, you know, we'll just deal with this.
Exactly. You know, we'll sleep well, we'll die, you know, basically mentality like this.
Yes, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of founders or a lot of entrepreneurs and people in general, but people who are driving forward in their careers often suffer from imposter syndrome, which augments and compounds some of the challenges. You know, we had a guest on just recently, Tim Ash, who wrote a book originally called The Primal Brain, which looked at how a lot of our decision-making truly is primal, and recently released the book Primal Dating, which is looking at the changes in how the relationship between men and women and how we're still those primal creatures, but we're trying to adapt to a modern society. And there's a lack of, it doesn't mesh all the time. How, what led you to connect brain science specifically to the challenges that leaders face and founders face?
Right. So I have my own personal story, and I have a quite rare autoimmune disease, which is called ankylosing spondylitis. It's a rare variation of arthritis that basically made me half paralyzed 19 years ago. So I wasn't able to move around the house, or, you know, I once took a bath and couldn't get out of it for 30 minutes because of severe pain. So I, well, you know, I got diagnosed, and then I was on pharmaceuticals for 10 years. And then I was like, how long am I going to take those drugs? And I started to look around, they started to gather information, and I stumbled upon Huberman Lab podcast, and I had a you know, really big like interest in what he had to say. So I started to listen from the very beginning, and thus far I've listened to 265 of his episodes or so.
Right.
Of course, I read books. I, you know, I looked into various types of research, and then I started to, you know, gather this general idea and understanding that our species, well, not fit for the modern environment. And just to build on top of what you said, I completely agree with this. The 150 years before, we were living in a totally different world, but then we invented artificial light that is governing our circadian rhythms, or rather disrupting them than governing.
Yes.
And then, you know, ultra processed food that is destroying our bodies. And then we have social media, et cetera, et cetera. So we've been evolving for millions of years. And in the past few decades, everything changed completely. So our both hardware and software are completely outdated, and we're not fit for the modern life. So the disconnection between, you know, the old brain, the primal brain, basically, right, and the hardwiring that we've inherited from our predecessors is conflicting with how we live our lives. And this is where the reason for the most mental health issues sits. Because it's a lack of sleep, it's improper in unbalanced nutrition, lack of movement, inability to tackle stress, no social connections whatsoever, because we live in an isolated environment, you know, glued to our phones, basically. But this is not a 3D interaction that our ancestors had. And then, of course, circadian rhythms are messed up. You know, there's no sense of agency for many people. Meaning is lost completely. We don't know how to rest, and we're not curious any longer, you know, just glued to the telly, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a lot to say here, but generally speaking, the system that I started to cultivate in my mind, I then was able to formulate in a brand called OSapiens, which is the mental health framework that I just described, basically the 10 pillars of mental health. And those are physiological interventions. But once you make those happen, it is pretty much guarantee that you will have a strong mental health. And I can tell from myself, because I've implemented all those protocols, and, you know, I'm off pharmaceuticals for several years, and I live in a highly stressed environment right now by going through divorce, relocating to another country, running a business, and,
yes,
you know, many other things. So, yeah. Sleep is the most important.
Sleep is critically important. So is the food and the fact that you stay active. But one thing, of course, founders often fall into the trap, and I've done this in the past and learned my lessons, is we do operate in high stress and very uncertain environments as businesses are developing, because every day we hope, are we going to make it through? Even though it's successful, we're always aware of these things could go off, which means we often don't take the time necessary for ourselves. And what physically happens to the brain in these periods of prolonged stress that negatively impact decision-making that right. we can easily compensate for? Not easily, but easy steps.
Yeah. So that's such a big topic. There are two elements to it that I'd love to cover. The first one, that the chronic stress leads to severe mental health issues in the long run, and issues with physical health as well, because our body is not used to it. We were dealing with stress factors such as, you know, saber-tooth tigers or something like this, but they were not walking around us 24/7. Whereas now we have emails. Those are the same saber-tooth tigers. They just evolved in the digital format. Basically, or a call from a boss, or a ping, or from news notification, or something.
We're
like
interrupted
this.
Constantly.
Exactly, and we're under a huge duress of stress. And if we're not addressing our body appropriately, yes, we are messed up. So this is one element, and the second element to it is that there is this widely circulating theory about, you know, the chemical imbalance that causes depression, which was debunked, of course, because, you know, it was a made-up concept by big pharmaceutical companies and, you know, really professional marketeers. But there is another layer of evidence that is quite clear, which showcases that the chronic inflammation can eventually lead to depression, anxiety, and various types of mental health illnesses. But the stress factors that are involved are not the only reason. The other reasons are also nutrition, because if we eat a lot of sugar, it's toxic for our brain, and it causes the systemic inflammation. It's like fuel, you know, to the fire. So the more stress factors we have, the less we sleep, the worse nutrition choices we make, and if we're not moving and not dealing with stress, we are eventually leading ourselves to a situation where we will face an issue with our mental health, whether we want it or not. So going back to your question on how to deal with it, one of the easiest way to deal with stress, and this is fascinating, it's sleep, of course. The second method is breathing, and this is by far the most efficient element whenever we get caught in a situation where we feel like, you know, we're just shaking and we it's just too much. We're overwhelmed. Take a deep, long breathe in, and then slowly, slowly, slowly breathing out. The physiological side, the box breathing, the 4-7-8, you inhale on 4 seconds, hold for 7, exhale for 8. Do it for 3 minutes, you're golden. And this it takes down the level of stress, cortisol, and it takes your system from sympathetic to parasympathetic state, which is rest and digest, and then you're able to lessen the stress factor. But of course, the other elements are critical. It's just not possible to be, you know, well balanced without proper sleep. And lately I've stopped asking people how are they. I started to ask, how's your sleep?
Right. You know, and it's critically important. It is overlooked or not talked about enough as a factor. And I know, you know, I think any of us know when we don't get a good night's sleep or a few days of poor sleep, we feel it in every which way. And there's no, you know, there's no magic number that's right for everybody, but there is the reality of enough that we do need. And there's too much as well. You know, and actually that comes to a different aspect of it is, you know, we all have blind spots with regards to what are the brain-based issues and what are the stressors that are affecting us. And sometimes we're dealing with the stress in the moment, but it's triggered by an underlying event that more often than not goes back to an adverse childhood experience. And being able to confront these challenges is huge, not just to help us manage and deal with what happened to us.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com.
But also to help us overcome and become better operators, leaders, and more mindful and better able to care for others. There's been a lot of research going on into the effects of psychedelics with regards to this. How do you approach that, and how much do you see that their use being in the leaders that you work with?
Right. So I'm a certified psychedelic coach, and I work with the medicine and with people who are interested to explore the deeper layers of their consciousness. Mm-hmm. I am a true believer that psychedelics used wisely and appropriately can help heal various types of mental health issues, such as depression, PTSD, anxiety, substance use disorder, anorexia nervosa, etc. But not only this, they can be applied in self-development. So what they do in a nutshell, they disrupt the patterns that we all have, and they create the window of neuroplasticity, the so-called critical periods, as it was called by Professor Gil Dolan from University of California, Berkeley. So basically what that means is that once a person has the substance in their body, the window opens, which means that they can literally rewire their brain to either new habits, new patterns of thinking, get rid of limiting beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. So for the past couple of years, I've been blogging about psychedelics in various platforms and in English and in Russian on LinkedIn as well, and other platforms like YouTube, Telegram. And I've been posting information about the scientific approach. And I see more and more interest from entrepreneurs and leaders, for that matter, towards psychedelics as a tool. But the thing here is that, unfortunately, because of the stigma and because of the misinformation that's been there for, well, like 50 plus years, thanks to Richard Nixon's administration and the concept of the war on drugs, because he was racist and xenophobic. But anyway, people are misinformed, and sometimes they treat this profound experience as a magic pill, and sometimes it becomes crazy. People approach this in a hope that they would get answers for their business, or they get a new source of like creativity or whatever, and then they go into the ceremony and then they interact with the multi-generational trauma or some traumatic event that happened in their childhood, and they're like, oh shit, how am I gonna deal with this? So this is a really interesting topic, because if a person who is facilitating the experience and holding the container, either preparing, holding the space, and then helping with integration, is not equipped and not screening a person properly, that could be a really big issue, because there are no guardrails. There are so many retreats nowadays. You can find a shaman who yesterday had their own first psychedelic experience, and today, they're putting on the music and they're like, yeah, I'm going to heal you all. And then you're like, yeah, but have you healed yourself first? Yep. And as a person who's been consuming psychedelics for 23 years, I know there is a dark side to it. It can inflate ego, and I've seen really bad cases. So it's important to navigate in this world very delicately and look for red flags, because, there are so many of them, and the hype is enormous. So, yeah, I don't know if I've answered your question, though.
No, you started down the direction, which is great. And, the next question related to that is, of course, we work to improve our new neuroplasticity, and leaders aren't just founders, and founders aren't just leaders. In terms of anybody in organization, anybody in life can be a leader in how they help others and guide others through their own example. But the ones who become founders, who are the entrepreneurs who build businesses, and the ones who come in and help manage growth later, they have equated this relentless hustle for success with themselves. And really, reflection and the benefit of a psychedelic to allow you to self-assess, but step outside of yourself to help you understand and judge is incredibly important. And that's not just for those founders and those leaders. That's for anybody. How do we help improve, grow, strengthen the neuroplasticity of the brain? And which psychedelics do you advise for different things?
Yeah, well, that's a complex one. So, yeah, thanks for this. It's a very challenging one. So when it comes to the therapeutic aspect, I'd say if a person is dealing with PTSD, MDMA is the most suitable one. But then again, it's not just the substance itself. It's the container. It's the therapy. Right. It's the follow-up. It's the person who is helping them heal, the therapist, basically, right? So when it comes to addiction, most effective one probably would be Ibogaine, but it depends on what type of addiction. If it's like opioid addiction, yeah, Ibogaine is really
phenomenal,
amazing.
The benefits that people have seen.
It is, but one thing is important. If a person is using opioids, they should never go into Ibogaine experience while using opioids because it could be lethal. That's right. Something people don't know much. So then when it comes to other types of experiences, like getting a new perspective on, you know, existing information, as they say, LSD is quite nice. Psilocybin is pretty good. Then ayahuasca is more spiritual. It's more multidimensional, I'd say. It's
Also physically harder on the system.
Well, yeah, it's true. The purging, yeah. And it's not for everybody. I mean, There are people who are really, you know, not willing to go in the ayahuasca ceremony just because, you know, you have to purge. But in a strange way, it is cleansing your body as well because of, you know, the excess bacteria or some other impure elements that you have, because body is wise and the medicine is wise. So when they're combined, your body knows what it does. But, you know, it's definitely not a medicine for everybody. And I wouldn't advise a person to go in a first psychedelic experience with ayahuasca. It's just not
that would be
good. Absolutely. But I prefer to work with psilocybin for many reasons. So the first one is that it can be, well, first of all, it's organic, right? And this is the beauty. Because in the majority of cases, especially if we're talking about countries where testing is not like legal or accessible, and you know, you buy a chemical compound, whether it's LSD or MDMA, you cannot test it, so you don't know. Yep. And in the majority of cases, it's not pure. But with psilocybin, you know, it's pure. I mean, those are mushrooms, right? So, and yet you can regulate what the type of experience you want. But then again, the second element, the microdosing, is the beauty, because when you have the profound experience and then your, you know, the window of neuroplasticity is open, you're like, brilliant, it's time to work. But then with a microdosing protocol, you can extend that window of neuroplasticity and then implement changes in a more efficient manner. So if a person is, you know, trying to go into psychedelic experience, first of all, they need to make sure that they don't have predisposition for schizophrenia or bipolar disease or, you know, manic episodes. Or if their parents had such, better avoid them because they can act as triggers. They're not going to cause anybody to go mad or insane. They are unspecific amplifiers, as Stanislav Grof called them. Basically, they're like... they're speeding up internal processes. But if you approach them in a very conscious manner, you can then able to go as deep as the Mariana Trench.
Mariana's Trench. Yeah.
Yeah. The deepest
point in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the depths where your identity sits, where your traumatic events sit. And then when you get to interact with them, you are then able to change your perception, but then also rewire yourself to change the elements of your identity. But that work requires a lot of knowledge, a lot of preparation, and most importantly, integration. And this is really important aspect, because people think that, you know, I have this vision, I have this profound experience, and that's it. No, the work starts on Monday. And if you don't do anything on Monday, I mean, yeah, it's a wasted opportunity. But that doesn't mean you need to change things right away. No, but start small, you know, start with a nice habit of eating healthier, you know, treating yourself better, like taking care of oneself. And I've created a couple of tools. So first tool that I created actually is a custom-made ChatGPT. It's free for all, for all those people who want to prepare for a psychedelic experience and integrate, and it's, you know, trained on really good materials. And
where do people find that?
Oh, I can I just send you a link so we could attach it to the episode description?
Absolutely.
If you can find, I'll just do it there. And then the second tool that I created, well, it's not a tool, it's more of a course, which is called Osapien. So this is what I call the knowledge for Monday. You know, when you have this experience on Saturday, typically, you know, people plan out the experience on Saturday, the psychedelic journey or something. And then they have this understanding like, oh, I need to live a healthier life. You know, I need to do this. I need to do that. And then Monday comes and nothing happens. So I developed this product, the one that I mentioned before, and I call it for myself. It's the knowledge that I lacked like 20 years ago on how to implement specific protocols when it comes to sleep, nutrition, movement, etc. So while the window of neuroplasticity is open, this is the chance to change something in life. And if you don't change anything, the old patterns, they get even more cemented. And this is the paradox, right? So you create this opportunity for change, but if you don't utilize it, you are making it worse.
Right.
It's so funny. But
yeah, it is. And, you know, most founders are ADHD.
Oh.
And that tends to drive, you know, you do some impulsive decision making, and you also get into points of avoidance in certain issues. When you're starting to rewire those habitual responses, be they through psychedelics or just learning, you know, one of the challenges is how do you overcome them and how do you actually get people to make them a habit? Because our ADHD propensities are not to adopt habits.
Yeah, that's a good one. Literally this week, I launched a new course on how to create habits and how to make them sustainable. It's a 7-day course. It's micro-learning, 5 to 7 minutes, condensed scientific evidence-based knowledge on how to build and cultivate habits, like whatever the habit you want to cultivate is just there. I can send a link again. We can attach it. But what you're saying is exactly the type of work that is required by people when they're entering a coaching container. And this is what distinguishes people who truly wants to change from those who are like, yeah, I kind of want to change, but not really. And
right.
Because if you don't do the work, it's pointless. I'm not going to waste time, you know? So my job...
There's no easy button.
Exactly. There is no magic bullet, like no silver bullet, no magic pill or whatever. It's not. I mean, it's work. It's hard work. It's daily work. And this is the thing. If people are not prepared for it, it's better not to waste time, because the readiness has to be there, right? So a person needs to realize that I truly want to change. But then once they want to change, they need to understand like what is the exact element of their identity they want to change, not the habit. They need to take a step back and think, okay, what type of person do I want to be? And once they make it a more coherent for themselves, only then they can start implement new habits. But it's not impossible. Anybody can learn a new habit. It's not that hard as long as you want to do it. But failing is fine. We're all human. It's just you go back.
You know, failing is learning. You don't learn by succeeding. You learn by failing and learning from it.
100%.
Vlad, we are unfortunately out of time for today, but people who want to learn more about your methodologies like Osapiens or about you and the Ethnogenic Renaissance Program, how can they find out?
I don't know where. I think it's easier to find me on LinkedIn. Osapiens.expert is the website. It's O as letter O and then sapiens as Homo sapiens. And,
The
dot expert. So that's easiest way. I'm on LinkedIn and Theogen.expert is my coaching practice for, you know, psychedelic assisted coaching for executives.
Wonderful. Well, I encourage people to reach out to you and learn more. Thank you for joining us today, Vlad.
Thanks for great, challenging questions, Richard.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy, and we'll be back again with you soon.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.